2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. I'm taking the title from the words found in verse 9. Let's read that verse one more time. It's God who saved us, saved according to the power of God. The last part of verse 8. According to the power of God who saved us. According to the power of God, he called us. He called us because he saved us. And that call was a holy calling. Call of God. And then he gives a negative, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So taking the title from those words in verse 9, salvation by God's purpose and God's grace. He marries those two words together, grace and purpose, grace and purpose. Now, I've got a confession. I must admit and confess to you, this verse is one of my all-time favorite verses. I think almost every time I bring a gospel message, I quote verse 9. It's God who saved us, God who called us. All-time favorite verse. This scripture is like one of my other favorite scriptures in Romans 3:24, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you have your favorite scriptures too that you love to think upon and meditate upon and find comfort and refreshment from the Word of God. These words here are so clearly and powerfully set forth how God saves and justifies sinners, all of his doing, all of his choosing, all of his power. Again, this verse declares, as all the Word of God does, that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation from beginning to the end and all the way in between. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, you remember when we finished the book of Acts, in the last verses of Acts 28, verse 31 and verse 32, that Paul dwelt two whole years in prison there in Rome, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. Even though he was imprisoned, his confidence wasn't shaken. But we also know that those 2 years the Lord gave him another ministry while he was there in prison, 2 years preaching the gospel. The Lord gave him another ministry. You know what it was? Writing the word we are reading today. He was given those prison epistles, Galatians, Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, 2 Timothy, and the letter to Philemon. Now, the Lord gave him those words by inspiration. And what a blessing we have to have those epistles. I just love those books. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 2 Timothy. Now, we find the Apostle Paul here writing to his young, he calls him my beloved son. Now, he wasn't his son naturally, but he was his son or a spiritual father to young Timothy, who learned the gospel from the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul writes to his young friend, his young son, Timothy, who was a preacher of the gospel, words of encouragement in the ministry, but it's also given to us as words of encouragement. Notice he says here in verse 5, 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance, when I think about you, when we first met, and when God granted you faith in Christ, I call to remembrance this genuine faith. And faith that's given of God is a perfect gift of God. It's the genuine faith that Timothy was given that's a gift of God that is in thee, which first dwelt first in your mother, your grandmother, and your mother. Three generations. We have that here. We have three generations of believers here in this congregation. And Paul gives thanks unto God for Lois, for Eunice, and am also persuaded that this saving faith was given unto thee. Verse 6, he said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that you stir up this gift of God. This gift of God, stir it up, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Not that Paul conferred anything to him, but he's saying that I laid my hands on you, acknowledging that God had given you these gifts. And then he says in verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but God has given us a spirit of power and of love, and we know genuine faith, and then he's given us a sound mind. He's given us a mind to think right thoughts about God. Paul recognized that the Lord had given special gifts to Timothy to preach the gospel and was encouraging him to use those gifts to the furtherance of the gospel and to the glory of God, because God had poured out upon him not a spirit of fear, intimidation of men. We fear God, and because we fear God, we do not fear men, but of power. Whose power? God's power. His sovereign power. And of love. Whose love? His love for us. We know the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And then he said, God has given you a sound mind. A sound mind. That's a believing mind, isn't it? One that believes the word of God. That's a sound mind. And then he says in verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Now what is the testimony of our Lord? It's the gospel of God. The gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of God, nor of me, his prisoner. Prisoner. Paul was in jail because he preached the gospel and would not compromise. But be a partaker. Be a partaker of the blessings of the gospel. And if need be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. The gospel according to the power of God. Now remember Romans 1:16? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God. What kind of power is that? The dynamite of God. The explosion of God that saves sinners by his grace. Be a partaker of the blessings of the gospel and of the afflictions of the gospel according to this power of God. How much power does God have? He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He has all power everywhere, over all things, over everyone is under his dominion, his control. Now, he reminds him again in verse 9, according to the power of God, who saved us? Who saved us? Now, what does that tell us? That tells us if you're saved, justified, that's what the word means. If you're saved or justified, it's because God did that by his power. Now I want to use what time we have here on these words found in verse 9, basically, and then closing with verse 10. The first thing we see here in verse 9, that salvation is of the Lord. It is God who saved us. It is the power of God that have saved us. How much power does it take to raise a dead sinner and to make him believe the gospel, to make him a new creature in Christ? It takes almighty power. It takes the power of God. It takes the same power that our Lord exercised at the grave of Lazarus when he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Now that's almighty power. Who can raise a dead man? None but God Almighty. Who can raise a dead sinner up and give him faith and life in the Lord Jesus Christ? It takes the power of Almighty God. He is the author and finisher of our salvation, of which he purposed in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. He chose a people to salvation. We study in Ephesians 3, verse 11, according to God's eternal purpose of God, which he purposed in Christ Jesus before the world began. The reason of our salvation and the reason that we are justified is found in God, not in us. Not in us. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all earned his wrath against our sin. For the wages of sin is death, right? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All that we have and all spiritual blessings we enjoy are because the Lord Jesus Christ was pleased to save us by His grace. He saved us. He justified us. He called us. Now, when? When did God save us? According, the gospel according to the power of God who saved us. He saved us. When? God saved us and justified us when He chose us in the eternal covenant of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read a moment ago, it is God who justifieth us. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And them He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? Well, if God be for us, who can be against us? When did God save us? In that eternal covenant of grace, when He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's when He saved us. That's when He justified us. Secondly, God saved us and justified us when the Lord Jesus Christ put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. We read in Romans 5, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. So we're justified eternally when Christ chose us in that covenant of grace. We're justified in time when the Lord Jesus Christ came and shed His blood to put away our sin. And then God saved us and justified us when we were given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to believe the gospel. Now, if you want to turn with me, you can. But over here in Acts chapter 13, you remember when Paul was preaching there, that first sermon in Acts 13, he says in verse 38, Acts 13:38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sin, and by him all that believe are, what? Justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So we're justified in the eternal covenant of grace. We're justified when the Lord Jesus Christ put away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And we're justified in our experience, in our heart, when we're given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Make no mistake here, our salvation is all God's doing, planning, providing, and purpose and grace given us in Christ Jesus. Now here's the second thing. Back to the text, 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. So we know that God saved us. If you're saved now, who saved you? You were lost. Who found you? You were dead. Who raised you? The power of God. The power of God who saved us, justified us. And then what happened? He called us. He called us. He called us because He saved us. It's also our great and sovereign God who called us to Himself. He called us to Himself. He called us with a, it says there, a holy calling. A holy calling. This is the holy God who called us to Christ with a holy calling. This is what we call the irresistible call of God, the irresistible call of the gospel. It's called an effectual calling out of darkness into His marvelous light. God commands the light to shine in your dark, dead heart to cause you to see the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. That comes by His commandment. He calls us. He calls us with the gospel. It is the calling of a sinner through the means that God has ordained, and that is the preaching and the hearing of the word of truth. That's how God calls us out. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of truth. It's called in Scripture a heavenly calling, Hebrews 3:1. It's called a high calling, Philippians 3:14. And here it's called a holy calling. Thy people shall be willing in the day of God's power. When God calls His people out of darkness into His marvelous light, He gets the job done. It's an effectual call, an irresistible call. He calls us to Himself. And you know how He does it? He makes Himself altogether lovely. He shows us the beauty of His character. He makes us to fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and skedaddle to Him and to embrace Him in saving faith. Now, so God, we're saved by the power of God. We're called by the power of God with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 9, here's the third thing, not. Now, it's good to know what something's not. It's not. It's not this way. It's not this way. So we're saved not according to our works. We're called not according to our works, but rather according to His purpose and grace. So we're saved by His grace. We're saved not according to our works. Nothing in all the Scriptures so clearly and boldly and plainly taught that salvation is not by our works, our deeds, our morality, or by the deeds of the law. Grace, grace, grace. Turn a couple pages to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Look at verse 4. Well, notice verse 3. Titus 3:3. We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts, living in pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Justified by His grace, not by works. Not of works, remember? Lest any man should boast. All the religions of man make salvation dependent upon some way, some thing you must do, some condition you must meet, the will of man, the work of man, the morality of man. That's the works of the religious man. All the religions of men make salvation dependent upon them rather than what Christ has done for us. His will, His redemption, and His purpose. So, back to Romans. Look at Romans chapter 9 this time. Romans 9. Romans 9. It's all His redemptive work. Romans 9. So then, verse 16. Romans 9, 16. So then, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. The election is according to God's purpose. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. That's verse 11. Verse 16, so then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will harden. So then, it's all of God's grace. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Now back to the text. So, point one, God saved us. Point two, God called us. Point three, not according to our works. Number four is this, but. I love that word, but, don't you? But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. But according to His own purpose. God saves every sinner whom He saves by purpose. Purpose. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. God saves sinners by His purpose and grace. Every sinner that God saves and calls is according to His eternal purpose. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. God purposed in Christ Jesus to elect a multitude of sinners unto salvation. We say with Paul, we thank God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you unto salvation. God's purpose to save sinners through the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. It pleased God to put away our sin in the fullness of time. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. This is all according to God's purpose. The Lord Jesus Christ died on purpose, didn't he? Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Yes, you have with wicked hands have taken and slain the Lord of glory, but you only did what God determined before to be done. So God saves according to his purpose. His purpose, his purpose. One day in time, God crossed your path on purpose with the gospel and called you to himself. It's no accident you bumped into the gospel. God called you because God purposed from all eternity to save you. We read in Isaiah 14, the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, this is the hand that is stretched out among all nations. The Lord of hosts hath purposed, who shall disannul? His hand is stretched out, who can change the purpose of God? The purpose of God will work God's will, God's way. Salvation by his grace. Let me read this verse to you again. Romans 9, verse 11. For the children being not yet born, talking about Jacob and Esau, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, all according to God's sovereign purpose. And his grace. He said, I've spoken it. I purposed it. I'll bring it to pass. I will do it. Can any poor sinner change the eternal purpose of God? No. His purpose is unchanging like his character. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. Now, the next word we see in verse 9, according to his purpose, according to his grace. His purpose and his grace. I am what I am by the grace of God. We cannot preach too often about the sovereign, free grace of God when we talk about salvation. This Bible, when it talks about grace, talks about sovereign grace. Sovereign grace and grace alone. Now, when we talk about grace, we've got to talk about his sovereign grace. His sovereign grace. I ran into a preacher one day, locally. He's a local pastor here, and we got into a conversation. And he told me, you can't show me in the Bible where it says the word sovereign grace. He said, that word sovereign grace is not in the Bible. He said, you keep talking about sovereign grace, sovereign grace, sovereign grace. He said, it's not in the Bible. I said, yes, it is. Here it is, Romans 5, 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So grace reigns by righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ has established for us. Now I love to talk about salvation by the grace of God. That means that salvation no way depends upon you or me. That means salvation depends upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That gives me comfort. That gives me hope because I know I'm a vile, wretched, depraved sinner. Thank God he saves sinners by his grace. Now we know his grace is redeeming grace. Ephesians 1, 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. And we know that grace is electing grace. It's electing grace. Let me read this to you. Electing grace. So then, at this present time, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if it be by grace, then it's no more works. Election is election of grace. God in that eternal covenant chose us to salvation. And then we know this grace of God is called fetching grace. You remember the story of Mephibosheth, the young cripple? David said, go get him. Fetch him. Bring him here. He's mine. I'm going to bless him for his father's sake, for Jonathan's sake. So we call that fetching grace. fetching grace. And then we see the Word of God talks about regenerating grace, being made new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Word of God talks about His calling grace. We studied that in the book of Galatians. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So we see that salvation is all God's grace. He chose us by His grace. Christ came in time and died for us according to the grace of God. For He says in 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich." We know something of His redeeming grace, don't we? I love to talk about the grace of God. And when we talk about the grace of God, we have to talk about the sovereign grace of God. He will have mercy upon whom He will. He will be gracious to whom He will. That is sovereign grace. Now, here's the next thing. Look at verse 9 again. 2 Timothy 1:9. "Which was given us in Christ Jesus." This grace of God was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. What did we read a moment ago? "For the children were born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election." I like what Charles Spurgeon said. "Thank God He chose me in Christ before I was born. He never would have chosen me afterward." Unconditional electing grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Turn back to the book of Titus again. Look over here in the book of Titus, chapter 1, this time verse 1. "Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, which acknowledges the truth," salvation is by His grace and purpose, "which is after godliness, glorifies Him in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." You see that? "But hath in due times manifested His word through preaching." He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. In Matthew 25, there's an article on the back of the bulletin. Don't read it now, but read it later. But there's an article on the back of the bulletin from Matthew 25:34. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." We know the Lord Jesus Christ is a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If you want to, you can turn with me to this one. Find 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. He tells us again here, verse 18, 1 Peter 1:18. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot, without blemish, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." You see what He's saying there? He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And these blessings of the gospel were given us in Christ before the world began. Now in closing, look at verse 10. "But is now made manifest." How is it made manifest? By the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to accomplish everything that God had decreed. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now I want you to turn and read with me. Turn to Romans 16, the last chapter in the book of Romans. "But now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ." Romans 16, verse 25. Look at this. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now it's made manifest. It made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory throughout the world. Jesus Christ be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. World without end. What God purposed in eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ came in time and fulfilled exactly the will of God, accomplishing our salvation. And in doing so, it says there that he abolished something. He abolished death. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And when he put away our sin, he abolished our death. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And when God raised him up and set him in the heavenlies, he raised us up also. We're seated in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ. He hath abolished death. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of hell and death. We have in the Lord Jesus Christ eternal life. He said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And hath brought life. What kind of life do we have? Right now we have in this life, physically, fleshly, we have temporary life. This body's going to die. The Lord Jesus Christ came to give us everlasting life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I am the resurrection. So, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. He is a Savior who saves his people from their sin. What did he do? He abolished death in that he put away sin. And he brought in life. Spiritual life, immortality, eternal life. He said, I give my sheep eternal life and they shall never perish through the gospel. Through the gospel. It's all through the gospel. It's all relative to the gospel, which is called, what is the gospel called? Let me read this to you. You know what it is. Romans 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Romans 1:1. So the gospel there is the gospel of God. It's called the testimony of God. The gospel of God, separated to the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures. The gospel of God is concerning his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, made of the seed of David, according to flesh, declared to be the son of God with power, according to the spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Our Lord said, because I live, you shall live also. Now, back to the text. I want you to take this home with you. I want you to look at this verse and think on this verse and meditate upon this verse. The power of God who saved us. The power of God called us to Christ in faith. The holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace. Get a hold of those two words, purpose and grace. Purpose and grace. Given us in Christ, free gift of God. Given us in Christ, when? Eternally, before the world began. That's a blessing, isn't it? That's a blessing.